They told you the Cold War was fought with nukes, spies, and lies. What they didn't tell you is that the US government trained a secret group of people to sit in a dark room, close their eyes, and see through walls. Across borders, into classified bunkers, onto other planets. They called it Project 8200, a top secret psychic spy program buried so deep, most people in the Pentagon didn't even know it existed. These weren't mystics or cult leaders. They were military-trained officers using something called remote viewing to gather intel the old-fashioned way, by astral projecting their consciousness into enemy territory. Sounds like sci-fi, but here's the kicker. Some of what they saw lined up with satellite footage. Some of what they described was confirmed years later. And some of it was never supposed to be seen. We're talking secret Soviet labs, alien structures, underground bases, and locations that no human had ever stepped foot in, but somehow they knew were there. So, if they were just making it up, why are the documents still classified? And if they weren't, what the hell did they see? It's the 1970s. Cold War paranoia was off the charts. Everyone was looking over their shoulder. Nukes on standby. Spies in every embassy. And buried underneath all of it was a secret even weirder than MKUltra. While the CIA was frying brains with acid, another agency, the Defense Intelligence Agency, was quietly asking a different question. What if you could spy without being anywhere near your target? No wires, no bugs, just the human mind unplugged. This wasn't Project Stargate. That was the public-facing shell, what they let you see after it got declassified in the 90s. Project 8200 was the darker sibling, buried deeper, tied directly to military intelligence and black budget defense priorities. Where Stargate flirted with the edges of science, 8200 kicked in the door. This was not some fringe science experiment. This was military protocol. They trained operatives, soldiers, not psychics, to close their eyes, tap into something they couldn't explain, and describe hidden Russian missile silos, secret submarines under the Arctic, and alien architecture they claimed was buried under the surface of Mars. And here's the part no one can explain. Sometimes they were right. Too right. They called it remote viewing. The press called it government-funded voodoo. But the Pentagon called it useful. So why did they shut it down? Or maybe the better question is, did they? The official version goes something like this. Oh, remote viewing? Yeah, just a harmless experiment. Some Cold War weirdness. Didn't really work. We shut it down in the 90s. Thanks for asking. Right. Except, that's not what the documents say. Because the further you dig, the more you realized Project 8200 wasn't just some failed psychic daydream. It was structured, funded, logged. And here's the kicker. It produced real intel. The kind that showed up in DIA briefings and ended up on mission plans. How do we know? Let's talk Stanford Research Institute. Yeah, that Stanford. In the early 1970s, physicists Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ led controlled experiments there, funded directly by the CIA and later by the Defense Intelligence Agency. Their test subjects, Ingo Swann, Pat Price, and Joseph McMonagall, described hidden military installations down to the layout of buildings, crane positions, even underground levels. One 1974 case stands out. Pat Price remote viewed a Soviet site in the Ural Mountains. He claimed it housed giant crane-like structures, underground chambers, and high-level experimental equipment. Satellite recon months later confirmed the description with an uncanny level of accuracy. They ran this program for over 20 years. through multiple administrations across the CIA, DIA, NSA, and Army intelligence. There were thousands of logged sessions. Let me repeat that, thousands. And this wasn't just curiosity science. In 1986, Joseph McMonagall was awarded the Legion of Merit, a high-level military honor. The citation? For providing information unavailable from any other source. Let me say that again. He was decorated for producing intel that no spy, no drone, and no satellite could get. So ask yourself, if remote viewing was just nonsense, why were they putting it on military briefing slides? Why were they giving medals for it? And why, if it didn't work, did it take 22 years, multiple agencies, and millions in black budget dollars before they shut it down? This wasn't fiction. These weren't movie psychics in crystal shops or tarot card readers on late night TV. These were military trained, government backed assets with dossiers, clearance levels, and a trail of declassified files that say they were getting results. Let's start with Joseph McMonagall, a decorated Army vet, remote viewer 001. This guy sat in a chair at Fort Meade and described Soviet weapons facilities across the planet. Not guesses, not hunches. He drew the buildings. He labeled the parts. Sometimes, years before satellites caught up. Mel Riley served in Army intelligence. His claims? He saw massive structures beneath the earth. Not tunnels, not bunkers. He said they didn't look like they were made by humans. And that's not just metaphor. According to Riley, some of these structures had signatures, angles, materials, patterns that didn't match anything in human architecture. Then there's Angela Della Fiora. She started as a CIA analyst, strict, methodical, skeptical, and ended up running remote viewing operations. To this day, she still defends the program. She's never once said it was bogus. She believes. And Lynn Buchanan, military linguist turned psychic warrior. He said one of his sessions went off script. He was supposed to target a location. Instead, he landed in something dark, vast, cold, and he wasn't alone. He said he felt something watching him, something intelligent, something that knew he was there. But now we come to the heavyweights, the two names that every remote viewer, government or otherwise, bows to, Ingle Swann and Pat Price. Swann was the guy, the architect of the protocols. He helped create the techniques they all used. In the early days, he remote viewed Jupiter, described rings around it. At the time, everyone laughed. Then NASA's Pioneer 10 probe confirmed it. He also described bases on the moon, artificial structures, domes, towers, metallic spires. He said they weren't abandoned, and whatever was up there didn't appreciate being watched. But Swann's partner in psychic crime, Pat Price, ex-police commissioner, looked like your uncle who bowls on Thursdays. But when this man sat down, entire countries flinched. He described Soviet underground facilities, including security layouts, elevator shafts, and biotech labs. He even rattled off the names of the people working inside. Later, intel confirmed some of it was spot on. But there's one session that still sends chills. He described non-human entities operating secret installations under the United States. Not metaphor, he said they were real, that they looked human but weren't, and that they had access to the highest levels of our infrastructure. He died not long after. The official cause? Heart attack. But multiple insiders, including those who worked on the program, say Price had begun asking questions. Too many questions. Questions that certain agencies didn't want answered. These were the viewers. They weren't perfect, but they were consistent. And in more than a few cases, they were terrifyingly right. Okay, before we go any deeper into alien bases, buried pyramids, and Martian ruins, we need to pause and answer the question half of you are already screaming. How the hell does this even work? Remote viewing, at least in Project 8200, wasn't about visions or dream states. It was structured, repeatable, protocol-driven. Here's the setup. A viewer is placed in a quiet, empty room. They're given coordinates, a sealed envelope, or just the label of Target 004. They don't know what it is, no hints, no context. Sometimes even the monitor, the person guiding the session, has no idea what the target is. Then the viewer closes their eyes and starts describing what they perceive. Sounds nuts, I get it. Except they were trained to follow specific stages. Stage 1, describe only basic impressions, colors, shapes, textures, smells. Stage 2, begin to sketch, get the geometry, feel the layout. Hot, cold, metallic, natural. Stage 3 and 4, dig deeper. What's it made of? What's its purpose? Is anyone there? So, you want to talk real science behind remote viewing? All right, let's do it. First off, quantum non-locality. Sounds like a Marvel plot device, but it's not. It's physics. Back in the 80s, Alain Aspect and his team proved something that Einstein used to call spooky action at a distance. Basically, two particles light years apart can influence each other instantly. No delay, no communication line, just instant non-local linkage. And here's why that matters. Remote viewers weren't saying they traveled somewhere. They described it like tuning into a field, an information space that wasn't limited by distance. Almost like consciousness itself doesn't care about where you are. It just tunes in, like a cosmic Wi-Fi signal, if you will. Now, some scientists, not your mainstream textbook folks, but real credentialed physicists, started wondering if consciousness might be part of that field. That's where zero-point energy field theories come in. Laszlo, Targ, Radin, they proposed that maybe consciousness isn't in your brain, it's in the fabric of space-time itself. A field of stored information that we can somehow tap into. You've probably heard that called the Akashic Record in spiritual circles, but imagine it stripped of mysticism and studied like physics. Informational resonance instead of psychic voodoo. And this isn't just theoretical daydreaming. Back in the 1970s, Stanford Research Institute, yes, Stanford, was running government-funded experiments using strict protocols. We're talking double-blind tests, randomized targets, no front-loading, and peer-reviewed statistical analysis. Some of those studies hit p-values under 0.01, which is nerd speak for this result should not be happening by chance. Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ were the physicists behind it. And yeah, they published in actual journals, Nature, Proceedings of the IEEE, not just UFO Weekly. But it gets better. Around the same time, researchers in the US and Europe were running what became known as the Ganzfeld experiments. Basically, you put someone in sensory deprivation, ask them to describe an image being viewed by someone else, and statistically, it worked. A 30 to 35% hit rate when chance would only get you 25. Not mind-blowing, but enough to say something was happening. Then there's neuroscience. Trained remote viewers consistently show elevated theta brainwave activity, which, if you don't live inside an EEG lab, is the brain state linked to deep meditation, creativity, and enhanced memory recall. And not just that, they show hemispheric synchronization. That's when the left and right sides of your brain start lighting up in harmony. It's rare, but it's powerful, and it's one of the few states tied to enhanced spatial awareness and high-level pattern recognition. Basically, your brain turns into a surveillance drone without leaving the chair. Oh, and if you're thinking this was all some hippie experiment, nope. The CIA and DIA literally wrote training manuals for this stuff. They taught remote viewers how to discipline the signal line, how to draw ideograms, how to shut up the part of your brain that tries to guess or rationalize. This wasn't magic. It wasn't intuition. It was a skill set. Think less crystal ball, more sniper school for the mind. So yeah, there's real science here. It's weird. It's not fully understood, but it's been measured, repeated, and declassified. And if they spent decades developing these protocols under the US military, maybe it's time we stop laughing and start listening. And here's the kicker. They weren't just seeing Soviet factories. Some were tasked with looking at Mars, ancient ruins, underground labs, or things that didn't even exist yet. And when different viewers described the same weird stuff without knowing each other or the target, well, now you've got a problem. Or, if you're the US government, a very interesting asset. Bottom line, we're not saying we understand how it works. We're saying they spent 22 years, millions of dollars, and cross-agency funding trying to figure it out because it worked just enough to scare the hell out of them. And maybe that's the real story here. They weren't just testing consciousness. They were trying to map something no one's ever defined. A signal, a field, a backdoor into reality. And they found it. Now it gets wild. Tinfoil hat time. Because the remote viewers in Project 8200 weren't just targeting Soviet bunkers or Chinese silos. They were asked to look at places that don't show up on maps, times that don't exist anymore, and realities no one wanted to talk about. Let's start with Dulce Base, New Mexico. Yeah, that Dulce. The one with the rumors of underground labs, genetic experiments, and a joint human-alien facility. According to more than one session transcript, the viewers described the multi-level structure buried into the Archuleta Mesa. They said it wasn't fully manned by humans, that something else was involved, something that didn't want to be found. And the weird part? Multiple viewers, independent from each other, reported seeing the same number of levels, the same types of containment rooms, the same weird energy signatures humming from the lower floors. Then came the Mars session. This one's legendary. The year was 1984. The CIA asked a remote viewer, codenamed 003, to target a set of coordinates. The catch? They were on Mars. And the time? 1 million years ago. No context, no lead-in, just go here, tell us what you see. And what he saw was a civilization, massive structures, pyramids, not Egyptian, but Martian. Beings, tall, thin, ancient. Some lying in sarcophagi. Others operating machinery that was trying to stabilize something. Like their planet was dying and they were begging for a way out. And then there's the Sphinx. One viewer was given GPS coordinates. They weren't told what or where it was. Just look beneath. The session notes describe a hidden chamber under the Sphinx paw. Not empty, not just stone. They called it a beacon, a device that wasn't broken, just sleeping. And the kicker? That same viewer said it was connected to something off-planet. They didn't just see locations. They described beings, machines, signals, memories. Like some of these places weren't just sites, they were archives, storage units for reality itself. And nearly all of them came back, changed. Some grew obsessed. Others refused to talk about certain sessions ever again. A few, like Pat Price, didn't live to tell the whole story. These weren't hallucinations. They were debriefed, logged, filed away in government records we weren't supposed to see. But we did, because somebody cracked open the vault just wide enough for the truth to bleed out. In 1995, after more than two decades of remote viewing experiments, the CIA suddenly declassified the program and announced it was shutting it all down. The official reason? A National Research Council review concluded that it didn't produce actionable intelligence. No useful results. No reliable targets. No point in continuing. Case closed, right? But here's the problem. The people who ran the program, the ones in the room, on the missions, logging the sessions, they say that's a lie. Joseph McMonagle, one of the star remote viewers, flat out said he did provide actionable intelligence. Coordinates, movements, facility layouts. He was awarded the Legion of Merit for it. Ingo Swann still insisted until his death that what they uncovered couldn't be explained or dismissed. And Angela Della Fiora, who worked with the CIA during its final years, once said that some of what they saw scared the people in charge. They didn't shut it down because it didn't work. They shut it down because it worked too well. But here's where it gets darker. Multiple insiders claim the program wasn't terminated, it was moved, folded deeper underground, privatized, buried behind contractor names and need-to-know silos. No more FOIA. No more public leaks. No more congressional hearings. It didn't die. It just went invisible. And if that's true, then what they're seeing now, what they're not allowed to report, might be even stranger than what they found in the 70s. Okay, so let's stop the astral projection for a second and plant our feet. What do we actually know? The viewers? Real. Verified, trained. We're not talking about random dudes with tinfoil hats. These were military personnel, CIA analysts, police commissioners, trained under government contracts at Stanford Research Institute. Not just footnotes, declassified names and dossiers. The documents? Also real. Thousands of pages, including DIA memos, operational summaries, and session transcripts, are available in official FOIA archives. You can go read about psychic surveillance of foreign weapon sites and deep target sessions that mention non-terrestrial locations. They don't say it worked, but they sure kept funding it. Alien contact? Unproven. Nobody pulled an alien out of a government basement and put it on a podium. But there's something weird about the data. Multiple viewers who didn't know each other and weren't told what they were looking at described similar beings, similar structures, and the same subterranean environments across time, across different sessions, across different continents. Mars, the moon, and underground sites like Dolce, they come up a lot. Sessions reference them directly, but many of those reports are now missing, redacted, or classified again. So either we're all chasing ghosts, or someone didn't like what was found. Now, we're not saying this is real. We're just saying they sure acted like it was. We were told the program ended, that psychic spying was a Cold War curiosity. A weird chapter in intelligence history that got quietly shut down when it didn't work. But that's not what the documents say. What we see in the declassified files is something different, an intelligence apparatus terrified of what it was uncovering, and even more afraid of the questions it raised. Why was data from remote viewers showing up in classified field ops? Why were so many targets off-planet? Why were the best viewers, trained under military conditions, reporting the same impossible structures, names, codes, and in some cases, entities? If it was junk science, why did they fund it for 20 years? And if it wasn't junk science, why shut it down the second it started answering the wrong questions? This wasn't just about psychic perception. It was about access. To things we're not supposed to see. To places we were told don't exist. To layers of reality that governments spend decades denying, while quietly building protocols to explore them anyway. And maybe that's why so much of this was buried. Because once you train a person to see the truth without permission, you can't untrain them. You can't contain them. And you can't stop what they bring back. Thanks for watching. I'm Ralph, and this has been Divergent Files. If this episode bent your brain a little, made you laugh nervously, or just made you stare at your tap water wondering who's watching, hit like, subscribe, and all the sacred algorithm buttons down there. Because let's be real, YouTube does not love videos about government-trained mind readers. They prefer cat videos. And here's the honest truth. There are no sponsors here, no shady backers, no big budget anything. It's just us and hopefully you. So if you want to keep these stories coming, the kind the intel agencies hoped you'd never find, join the crew over on Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, you could keep this channel alive, and you unlock extended episodes, and you get access to behind-the-scenes chaos we can't always post here. That's over at patreon.com/divergentfiles. The world is totally weird. The story's even crazier. And we're just here trying to figure out what's real and what we've been told not to see. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for sticking around. Until next time, stay curious, stay skeptical, and remember, you are truly appreciated. These investigations are powered by those who believe truth still matters. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. Join the mission at patreon.com/divergentfiles.